1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Extreme temperatures keep rising around the world. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres.
Climate change is here. It is terrifying, and it is just the beginning.
But President Biden's got a plan to help here at home.
The number one weather-related killer is heat.
That's why the president is reminding everyone.
Workers have a federal heat-related protections. We should be protecting workers from hazardous conditions, and we will.
In addition, more cooling centers are being provided short-term, while long-term, the government will award grants to help cities and towns plant trees to repel the heat and expand access to green spaces. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
The White House says Hunter Biden won't get a pass from dad if he's found guilty of federal tax evasion. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre answered clearly.
From a presidential perspective, is there any possibility that the president would end up pardoning his son?
No.
Hunter's plea deal is still in limbo. We are learning now, this is breaking news, that a grand jury in the January 6th case against former President Trump will not hand down an indictment. CBS's Scott McFarlane had been standing by.
The grand jury that has been part of this investigation into efforts to overturn the 2020 election has been seen inside the courthouse. They weren't seen here yesterday. They weren't seen here Tuesday. And every sighting is potentially vital because we know what a week and a half ago, former President Trump got that target letter, which indicates a federal charge is likely, if not imminent.
But again, this grand jury will not hand down any indictment in this case. Meantime, the Justice Department is looking into policing practices in Memphis. Assistant Attorney Kristen Clark.
We received multiple reports of officers escalating encounters with community members, resulting in excessive force.
This comes nearly 7 months after officers violently beat Tyree Nichols during an ultimately deadly traffic stop. A teenage girl from Arizona who's been missing for the last 4 years has been found safe in Montana. Glendale Police Lieutenant Scott Waite.
Every indication she's given us so far is that she willfully left her home, her own free will and choice. Now, the dynamics surrounding that decision are obviously something that we're looking into.
It is every traveler's worst nightmare, hidden cameras in your vacation rental. Here's CBS's Jen Clark.
A Texas couple is suing a Maryland Airbnb owner after they found cameras hidden inside smoke detectors in the bedroom and the bathroom. The woman and her fiance had been intimate in the bathroom and says that she feels shame and embarrassment.
The owner is already behind bars on a different charge. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Every piece of land has a story. The upshot's right there is with a John Deere 1 Series tractor they call Penny.
When your project comes up, you have to just jump in and figure out what is it going to take.
From front loader to backhoe, the upshot's have the tools to DIY all day long. Run with us on a 1 Series tractor and start telling your story. Get $1,000 off a 1025R tractor and 0% APR fixed rate for 60 months. For additional cost information, please call toll-free 855-633-2315.
If you're hiring, it can feel like trying to find a needle in a haystack. You can hope the right person comes along, or you can just use ZipRecruiter. Like Marco, president of operations at Telly Tires and Auto Centers.
ZipRecruiter helps me find all the right people, even the most difficult jobs to fill.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Now try ZipRecruiter free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/FREE.
Saddle up, buckaroos. It's time to start the cattle drive with Trail Tunes, the new cowboy, western, and south of the border show on Wiscountry 105.5 WIRI. Every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m., join me, Gene, Roy, Tex, and Rex with songs of lonesome cowboys, wicked rustlers, and sighing senoritas. From the sons of the pioneers to riders in the sky, Trail Tunes will have you wishing for those wide open spaces. Every Thursday from 7 to 8, only on Wiscountry 105.5.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. Today may not be the best day to visit the Wildwood Park and Zoo in Marshfield. Zoo staff said the animals are much less active in the heat and some of them have been moved indoors. Those that are still outside are choosing to spend time in off-habitat areas. The animals are being kept cool with Mr. Hose's popsicles and ice. If you need a place to cool down today in Wood County, there are several options. Area libraries are available and a great idea for families. McMillan Memorial Library in Wisconsin Rapids, the Lester Public Library of Vesper, and the Marshfield Library are open until 8 p.m. The Pittsville Public Library is open until 5, the Nakusa Library until 6, and the Arpin Library until 7. The Centralia Center in Wisconsin Rapids and the Marshfield Senior Center are open until 4:30. Walmart in both towns is open until 11 p.m. tonight. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI, Civic Media News.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Lows around 66. Southeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tomorrow. Chance for scattered storms. Highs around 86. Mainly cloudy skies tomorrow night. Chance for scattered storms. Lows around 60. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 92.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Midday Magazine for this July 27th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in our friend Jackie Carantini. We're going to talk pickles with Jackie in just a little bit. Jackie will be with us. Looking forward to it. Right now, we have in studio Stephen Hittner and our friends from Family Natural Foods. Stephen, good afternoon.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Good to have you here, man.
Yeah, it's not often it's just me, but Katrina's on vacation, which is wonderful.
Right on.
You know, they're exploring some of the natural beauty of, I don't know, like America and Canada. Actually.
Wherever
they
are.
Yeah, they're driving everywhere. I think they're in the U.S. right now, but they could be in Canada. It sort of depends on the day. Kind of the Rocky Mountain kind of stuff.
There. Oh, good. She's earned it. They've earned it. Safe travels and a good time to them. We'll talk with her again real soon. But hey, man, we get to hang out. We never get to hang out. This
is
awesome.
Just the two of us. Yeah. Like, what are we going to do? I got some drinks lined up here.
Right on. Sounds good. Let's do it. Shots. No. We do have actually some drinks, and we do have a little bit of the talk about with our friends at Family Natural Foods. Stephen, where do you want to start? I think you got a good place here.
Yeah, I think let's start with the cool drinks. I don't know if you noticed, but it's kind of hot out today.
Yes.
It's been kind of hot out. Yeah. It's going to keep being kind of hot.
That's what that is. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Actually, this morning, and even still right now, I've got like this kind of low-lying like kind of headache. I just feel a little bit drained. And I realized what it was is that I'm a low on electrolytes and I need to drink more water. You know, that's something we could tell all of ourselves every day of the year, anytime, you know,
I sheepishly drink water. Yes.
James is doing it. I didn't have to say it twice. And you know, this is perfect. So, you know, drinking more water, getting more fluids, but it has to be something more than that. Like yesterday, I wasn't out in the heat of the day. It wasn't even, you know, compared to today, it wasn't even that hot. But I still feel kind of drained. And I you know, like I said, I drank water. So what was I missing is that electrolytes. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, primary electrolytes are, to get a little more specific on this, is potassium and sodium. Mm. Obviously, we know sodium, salt, it's in everything. That's not as hard to get, but potassium can be a little tricky to get.
Yeah.
So what I thought I'd do is I bring some drinks that are really enjoyable and can kind of meet that need for us this time of year with those electrolytes that we could use. So I'm going to start out with what nature provided to all the wonderful islands of the world, which is coconuts.
Yes. It's a great sentence right there, too. I don't think everybody thinks of it that way, but it's such a good sentence and a good point that you just made there.
If you look at the equator, all the way around the world, what grows in the hottest part of the world, the equator, right?
Yeah.
You know, sunny, hot days. They don't get winter, you know, they're not getting any snow.
No.
Not on Hawaii or Fiji or Thailand, you know, you name it. But they do have coconuts. And some of those islands don't have much else.
Yeah.
And that's why I've always been amazed by coconuts. They can be used for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sort of like nature's answer to being stuck on a desert island.
Yes.
You know, you've seen it in all these movies, Castaway or whatever, you know, over the years, where what do they find first? What are they surviving on? Often it's coconuts.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for that. And one of the great reasons is electrolytes, right? That sodium and potassium. Mm-hmm. And I think this is our heaviest hitter. So today, this can says that there's 2 servings in here. And so, you know, if you drink the whole can, you'd get, 2 servings, you'd get 800 milligrams of potassium. So one serving, you get 400 milligrams of potassium. Mm. And nice. So that's a lot of potassium.
Yeah.
It also has some sodium, but not quite as much sodium. And again, like, you can get sodium. I don't know if you've ever noticed that there's salt on everything.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of the stuff that we shouldn't drink as much of. But I'll open this up. And let's see what the wonders of coconut.
Steven did a really nice job of putting that right to the mic. We love that noise. That was well done, sir. That was well done.
Did it come through?
Yeah.
All perfectly. Right. Excellent. I'm hoping to get a job at the radio. Katrina's already beat me to the punch. She's on vacation, so I'm gonna.
We're gonna need somebody else to come in.
That's right.
I'm gonna try this right now. And Steven, I'm sorry. One more time. The name of this?
So it's Taste Nirvana. Premium coconut water.
Mm. Mm. Oh, that's good. So I didn't want to say it beforehand. Mm-hmm. I have never been too much of a coconut water drinker.
Oh, sure. I didn't ask you this ahead of time. I probably should have.
In part, no, that's okay. In part, I'm here to try this stuff and you know, be the silly host. It's okay. But I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I actually... I'm not kidding you, man. I really enjoyed that. I like the secondary taste I get from that, and that's good for me. That are you sure? Because it tasted really good.
If you live in a place where it's super hot and you're sweating and you're losing electrolytes and you're feeling like me, where you're feeling like a little bit zapped,
mm-hmm.
This is the best thing for you.
What
it's
I got
nature's answer, right?
It really is.
Yeah.
What I like about coconut flavored things and that is that it does remind me. I get what I wanted from because I usually drink water. Drink a lot. I do actually try to drink a lot of water.
Water's great. Yep.
But every once in a while, like you said, you want something that has a little more punch to it, maybe, or mm-hmm. takes care of something that's depleted in you.
Yeah.
That I could drink.
Yeah.
That it has the flavor of the coconut that I think a lot of coconut drinkers would like, mm-hmm. while not being overly powerful with it.
Yep. And there's a kind of a cool backstory on this one. This is the only coconut water we sell. And I think this is the hallmark of a good health food store. Hmm. And I see this when I go to other small health food stores around the country, you know, and when I'm traveling or whatever, is there's no reason to sell 10 different varieties of coconut water if you found the best one, right?
Mm.
So we don't bother selling other ones because somebody will buy it and they'll just be disappointed by it.
Mm-hmm.
And so why do that? You know, and some things obviously we have varieties of, but when we find the best and that's certainly what I found with this one. That's kind of what we stick to. And there's kind of 2 fun backstories to this one. So I have a good friend who lives in Colorado, and his wife has like worked at health food stores nearly as long as I have, all over the place, but mostly in Colorado. And, you know, there's always big health food stores in Colorado.
Yeah.
And they have, you know, probably a whole aisle of coconut waters.
Yeah.
Kind of doing the opposite of what I was just telling you. And they love coconut waters. So they tried every single one of them one summer or whatever. And they told me this story, and they said the one that was the best, like by far, was Taste Nirvana.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And I trusted them on all sorts of stuff. And I was like, okay, I'll try it. Like, not going to be hard for me to do this.
Yeah.
And so I tried it, and I was like, you guys are totally right. This is the best coconut water. Because I tried a bunch of them, too. Not quite as scientifically as they did.
Yeah.
But I took their scientific research, and I like tasted it myself. And I was like, this is so good. So we started selling it, you know, pretty much right after that. And then the other thing that really sealed the deal for me on this company, I was at a conference in California. It's called Expo West, and it's the biggest natural foods expo in the world. People come in from all over the world actually come to this conference. And you know, in you know, when I was wandering around the halls talking to different manufacturers and companies, I saw this company. I was like, I know you guys are great. And I started talking to this lady at the booth. And I was like, you got to tell me more about, like, what's the story of your company? I think I'm going to spend the whole time talking
about
coconut water.
That's all right. That's all right.
This is great. But anyways, she said, oh, you know what? Like, this is my family's company. Like, I'm in charge of marketing. My brother's in charge of, I think it was harvesting the coconuts. Mm-hmm. I forget what her dad did. Probably did everything else.
Yeah.
You know, it was like basically like this small little family business. Mm-hmm. And she was telling me about how like they raise the coconuts in this part of Thailand that's famous for years and years, hundreds of years for having the right climate and the right condition, right soil to grow the tastiest coconuts. Mm. And they own all the farm themselves. They do all the harvesting. Mm. And by this point in the conference, I was getting kind of exhausted and jaded by all these little startup companies that are trying to sell themselves to General Mills, to Clorox, to, you know, like all these big companies that aren't health food companies. And we were losing, it seemed at the time like we were losing a lot of these small independent family-owned companies like this one. And like us, you know, like, you know, Family Natural Foods is started by my grandfather, 1946. So, I really like to embrace those family-owned companies. And I started talking to them. I was like, oh, do you guys have investors? Or, you know, like I was trying to just kind of probe it and test the waters. It was like, no way. We're never like selling our company. This is our family company. This is what we do. This is what we're passionate about. I was like, okay, there's another reason.
Yeah.
I'm like all the more dedicated to this singular company. Because most coconut waters were probably bought or started by, you know, Coca-Cola, all these other companies.
Oh, yeah.
If you go to the grocery store, the most of the shelving is stocked by these big companies like Coca-Cola and Pepsi.
Yep.
So to get your product on that shelf, you have to basically be owned by Coca-Cola and Pepsi. You know, like there, and the similar things are hard with like liquor as well. It's a whole different topic, but I just, you know, the topic of coconut water, you're not going to find too many that are family owned companies. Mm-hmm. And I would argue not as good tasting. So, that's pretty much in the program.
That's all we got time for today. No, we got plenty of time. We got 10, 15 minutes left. That was a great story. I in part too, because of what we're doing here, Stephen, we're talking about a locally grown business. We're talking about one of our favorites in this area, a business that has helped this community survive, that has impacted this community, that has put back into this community. You're telling us about another one there. And why you guys at Family Natural Foods, even going back to your dad and your grandpa and everything, have always believed in supporting companies that are similar to yours. I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
We don't always get the behind the scenes of that.
No, it's true. And we do, you know, we'll talk a lot and we do a lot. I actually saw Joel Keenhold, who owns Lonely Oak Farms. Mm-hmm. I just saw him about half an hour ago, and it's so great to see these farmers coming in and out. I think probably about right now we're getting bread from the Main Grain Bakery out of Stevens Point. And, you know, shortly after that, I know we're getting mushrooms from another mushroom producer's local.
Cool.
But one thing we can't grow is coconuts.
Yeah,
and when it comes to getting the ultimate hydration, coconuts is one of the best things. And so when you can partner with a family-owned company and support their mission, on something that we can't grow, let's do that. So that's always our priority. And that's why if you come to our store, we don't sell 20 kinds of coconut water. We sell the best coconut water.
Right on. Right on. Yeah.
So with that, let's go to our next drink.
Okay.
I don't know if we're going to get to all this stuff here, but pass your cup over here, James. Thank you.
Which
got
is
those
this
long
one.
Arms, that's excellent.
The reach helps.
Yeah.
Steven's pouring me some of this another drink
that
we're
like
trying
root
here.
Beer?
I love root beer.
Okay, I'm going to ask you ahead of time on this one.
I love root beer.
Most people do, and it's a great summertime drink.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kombucha.
Oh, nice.
Isn't that fun?
Oh, is that awesome?
Yeah.
Oh, it's root beer, you guys.
Yeah.
It's root beer kombucha. Oh, that's awesome.
So people who...
Wow. Oh, I want some more.
And basically, as soon as you hear this program, you have to come into Family Natural Foods and try it because these flavors are constantly rotating.
Yes.
So I don't know what's going to be there on Friday or Monday. But, you know, today on Thursday and maybe Friday morning, we'll have this root beer flavor. It's a crowd favorite. And I always tell people, you know, like if you don't like kombucha... Try root beer.
Yes.
Kombucha, you know?
Yes.
It's nothing like exotic or weird. It's just like root beer kombucha. And this is made locally in Spencer, Wisconsin. So like, we're getting
nice.
To this local,
again,
family-owned company. You know, small little thing. They stop in themselves and do all the work on the kombucha. But we have it, you know, in kegs, and you can fill up your own growler. So if you have a growler, as long as it's a similar size to ours, you can bring it in, fill it up, or you can buy growlers. You can buy it by the glass. But kombucha is wonderful. A lot of people drink this as kind of a soda alternative. And I've had a number of people say, oh, I used to drink, you know, whatever. You name the soda every single day. And I drink cans and cans of it. And I just, you know, it had a lot of sugar. It contributes to diabetes, metabolic syndrome, you know, all sorts of problems.
Yes.
And kombucha is a natural beverage that's produced through fermentation. And so not only is it good for you because it has probiotics and all these things that we've come to look for, it also, you know, is tasty, and it's got that carbonation. And there's something about carbonation that, like, it's sort of like potato chips. Like, once you start chewing on a you know, crunchy potato chip, which would actually go really well with this.
Actually, yes, it would.
And we have some excellent potato chips in case people are looking for them. But yeah, the kombucha, you know, it's just like that bubbles. Sometimes you want that carbonation. There's a few things more kind of quenching of your thirst than a carbonated thing. So we sell tons of kombucha. I feel like probably half of Wisconsin Rapids is already there, but the other half should come in and try the root beer or whatever flavor. There's a lot of fruit flavors. They're wonderful.
There really is. I've never had any bad kombucha, but I can't say that it's like a go-to for me because of certain flavors that I don't always like, but that I've come across. Now, like the watermelon one tastes like watermelon. It's so good.
Yeah.
Strawberry, very similar. You know, getting into the habit of using it.
Yeah.
See, I think that's part of it too. And you mentioned carbon, and I think that's a little of it also. So much of our generations grew up on something carbon based.
Yeah.
And so even just having that is a nice familiar. It's familiar to our palate.
Yeah.
But even just getting in the habit, I always grab this. I always, when I'm in the store, I always grab this, and you get into that habit, and then it's that routine is hard to break. This is one that I think people could help them break that routine because it's a familiar flavor.
Yep.
The natural food industry was so smart about this to me, in all different angles of it, in all the fields and layers of it and everything of how do we get people to get healthier? How do instead of like expecting, like when I was a kid and some of this stuff first came out, it was you come to us.
Yeah.
And it seemed like the healthcare industry realized, you know what, we gotta build a bridge here. How do we get you to try kombucha? How about some root beer? Would you try the root beer one, everybody?
And I think you're totally right. And a lot of people have been kind of, you know, skittish or afraid to. But what's wonderful about the kombucha is you don't have to spend a single penny, and you can try every flavor that we have. There's usually four on tap.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, before you fill up your glass and pay for it, you know you like it already.
It's really cool you do that.
It's a low-risk thing. It's kind of like the Van Foss balsamic vinegars and oils we sell.
Yes.
I always tell people, like, nobody's bought one that they didn't like because they always try it first.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons we sell so much of it. So we might come back to a third beverage. I'm waiting to hear from Afi because I don't know if it's in stock.
Oh, okay,
I don't
want
to sample it and have everyone rush in to get it because it's so good.
Right on. Good.
But if I do get a message from her, I'm just like looking
flip the script. We'll flip
it around, you know. We're versatile. I was going to go to some of my favorites.
Okay.
You know, Energy, last time we talked about ginseng. And I think you tried the Terry Natural ginseng as a ginseng chewable, and it's really great. Another Energy product that we've sold forever, really. I mean, I can remember this, I don't know, like 10, 15, 20 years ago, maybe, is called Energy Plus. It's like small tablets, and it's really wonderful. On the front, it says 100% stimulant-free, so there's no caffeine. This is a source of natural energy without any caffeine or stimulants or harsh things like that. And it's really a sustained thing. I love like just ginseng, you know, American ginseng, Korean ginseng, Terry's ginseng product. But also, this product I think has a little bit of an advantage over some of those because it's a whole formula. So there's more than one ingredient. And I think when a formula is made by a company, and I've met the founder and formulator of this company, he's been doing this for probably as long as I've been alive. He's he's really experienced with this. So when you get somebody who puts together a really cohesive formula, it's usually better than a single ingredient.
Yeah.
We often search out single ingredients because that's usually what gets the press. It's kind of hard to like get press on like, oh, well, there's 15 things. Like people like they'll just like, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
But that's I think why this works so well, and it's so well for so many things. It's designed for energy, but I often tell people, it says it on the side here. Let's see. Basically, if you take this for a while, you'll notice not even more energy, but your mental focus will be stronger. You'll have, it helps with your hair, skin, and nails growing.
Oh, geez. Okay. Man.
It's a beauty product here.
It's a lot of nice things.
If you, I've been taking a lot. No, I'm joking.
I do think that it's nice. And it shows. A lot of people do like that. I'm buying it for this, and I get these added benefits.
Yep,
people
side
do like
benefits.
That. So that's always nice. I think you had people right away, though, without the stimulants.
Yeah.
Like, even if that was all you said, I think. So many more people are getting smarter about this.
Yeah.
Hey, wait a minute. That monster drink is literally eating up the inner lining of my intestine, at my stomach and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, so people, and to be honest, I've got some friends like this. So they were doing that monster thing. I'll take one of my buddies because I've asked him and he doesn't mind me using him as an example.
Yeah.
He's worked construction his whole life pretty much. Getting up at 6 a.m, not always wide awake.
Hard work.
Grabs his monster, grabs his coffee or whatever.
He needs his coconut water.
Yeah. His doctor told him this, that literally the inner lining of his stomach is going and that they think that this is part of the reason.
Yeah.
He's still working. He needs that energy, he feels, and he's looking for something different. And I'm telling him right away, I'm like, go over to Family Natural Foods, man. They got this and this and this, and go check it out. Because there are ways to get energy without that kind of stimulant.
Yeah, and this has a money-back guarantee. We've sold it for years. It's always worked great. The normal dose, you start out with 2 a day. And then I find some days I just take one, you know, that's all I need. And then some days I'll maybe take 3, you know, or I'll take 2 a.m, I'll take 1 or 2 later on. I've had occasions, you know, where like I had to drive home and it was getting late and I was getting tired. And I took like 4 of these, which is kind of a lot. And if you did that with Monster Energy, where you like, you know, doubled your dose of Monster,
you
wanted to drive home, and go to bed afterwards, it's not happening.
You may never go to bed again. You may, I don't know if you took 4 of those.
Or you might go to bed permanently.
So this is
problems.
A little bit.
But yeah, this one, like to finish that story, I drove home, stayed awake, most importantly, and. You know, a half an hour later, I was in bed sleeping like I would have any day.
Nice.
You know, and that's the difference between, you know, things with stimulants and energy and things that are just here for sustainable energy. And it provides, you know, to get into a little bit of the nerdiness of it, it provides the glycogen, which is sort of the building blocks of energy that your body needs.
Yeah.
And then it has sort of inherent energy. And then it nourishes basically all the major body systems, especially the ones related to energy. So like it has herbs in here that are good for your lungs. A lot of these herbs overlap, you know, they're probably, some of these are good for every single thing of these, but you know, if your lungs get more oxygen, they work more efficiently, especially during the wildfire time, then you're going to have more energy. That's where you get oxygen from.
Yeah.
And then, you know, from there, you got to have your heart working well because that pumps that oxygen in your blood, you know, around your body. So it has, you know, herbs that nourish your heart and your cardiovascular system. And then, you know, the blood's, it gets into some of like some sort of Chinese medicine stuff too, where it's talking about the spleen and the liver and the blood system. All this kind of stuff works together, basically, long story short, to, you know, support your body's energy and just general well-being. I mean,
Something like this is a product that, okay, I need energy and that valve gets turned on.
Yeah.
Something like the energy drink thing and stuff, it's just pouring sugar down your throat.
Yeah.
And there's no valve. It's just boom.
Yep.
Here's all this energy. And by the way, side alert, you're going to have a crash about an hour from now that you're going to hit you hard.
Yep.
So you're probably going to need another one. And then with this, though, you don't get that crash. You don't have those things. And the valve is only turned on when you need it.
Yeah.
I products like that, I really, really enjoy.
So Energy Plus, money-back guarantee, check it out. You know, I think everybody in the summer can use a little more energy.
Got about 2-3 minutes left, Steve.
2 or 3 minutes. Yeah. Well, that's got me sweating.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've got time for any more here.
Okay. All right. That's fine. That's
okay.
Fine.
Well, I'll fit one more.
One more.
One more.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So deodorant.
Good one. Yeah. Okay. We started with heat. Yep. We got to get to the deodorant.
Deodorant. Yeah. This time of year, you know, you probably noticed you might sweat a little bit when you get outside. And there's always this quest people have for natural deodorants.
Hold up. I don't want this to get lost. That was a perfect segue. You did a great job with that, and I didn't meet you there. It was really well done by you. Please continue. Yeah. Please continue.
All right. So anyways, this is when Katrina will be rolling her eyes.
Yes,
you know,
she
she's
will.
On vacation. Yes. It's fine. I can have some liberties here. So deodorants are often really challenging, natural deodorants in particular. People want to get away from aluminum. They want to get away from these other ingredients that plug up your pores. Aluminum, you know, is a contributor to like Alzheimer's, dementia, stuff like that. Just, it's a poison. You don't want that in your body or on your body for that matter. So people are always looking for natural deodorants, but they're kind of hard to find ones that work well. And I often tell people, you know, try different ones. And just be patient. Like, something's going to work. Sometimes it takes a little while to kind of clean your pores out and detoxify, so to speak. But one I like to tell people about, just because I think it's so amazing that it's making this statement, and it's worked well for me for years and years, is called Lavalin. I think it was developed, it's a product, it's an international product. I think it's from Israel. Hmm. I think it was developed for the Israeli military.
Wow.
So, you know, again, like construction workers, folks that are out working, sweating.
Especially in Israel.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There ain't no cool days out there.
Yeah, they grow coconuts there.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Nice.
But anyways, this Lavalin deodorant is amazing. They have two formulas. I usually tell people to start with the roll-on one because it's more familiar to us. It's a roll-on. It's really easy. But like it says on the front, 72 hours. So I usually tell people up to 72 hours. I had one lady who was a satisfied customer with it, and she bought it, and she said, "Oh, this is great, but I have to use it every day." And I was like, "Oh, well, I'm sorry about that." And I was like kind of apologizing and stuff. She's like, no, this is amazing. Like, other deodorants, I was using them 2 or 3 times a day.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, okay. Mm-hmm. And she also said, like, she's like, "And I'm also pregnant right now." And I was like, okay, that's throwing another, variability into, hormones and all these kind of things. So I was like, okay, if it works for a pregnant woman who used to use deodorant 3 times, conventional stuff, 3 times a day, and this works for 24 hours, cool.
That is cool.
They have another formula that's a paste, and I'll just put this in here quick. This one can last up to 7 days.
Nice.
I usually get around 5 days out of it, sometimes in the winter 7. And you can go swimming, you can take showers, you can do whatever, and it's still lasting. And it's no aluminum, a natural deodorant.
That's 72-hour one. I'm trying that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now. I'm putting my name on it. I'm trying that.
It's amazing stuff. And like one of these, like the paste in particular, this will last me a year.
Because you're not
using it that much, once a week. So
always appreciate the time. Yeah. And it was really fun getting the chance to you and I hang out, Steve.
Yeah, it was great. Thanks for having some drinks with me here.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll do it again. Find out more by going to Family Natural Foods. Their doors are open usually around 9. Guys wake up and things get going over there. Join them at 910 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. Be sure to bookmark their webpage, familynaturalfood.com, and follow them on social media. They're a great follow. Yeah. We'll catch up again real soon, Steve.
Stay hydrated, folks.
Stay hydrated.
Take care.
Thanks, Steven.
Yep.
Be back with more Midday Magazine right here at WFHR.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734. Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in Central Wisconsin. Small municipalities across Wisconsin receive grants from the state to fund public improvement projects. Governor Tony Evers announced yesterday that 21 municipalities would receive more than $20 million in funds for critical public infrastructure projects. The governor said, "These pivotal projects will help our communities build for the future, improve public services, and provide family-sustaining jobs."
Among the 21 municipalities are the cities of Hurley and Antigo, who will each receive $1 million for street and utility infrastructure improvements. If you want to bow hunt at the Sandhill Wildlife Area in Babcock this fall, you'll need to submit your application to the DNR by August 14th. They are conducting a research study on deer density in the area. This is the first time an archery hunt will be held in Sandhill since 1968. The two-day hunt will take place September 30th and October 1st. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Lows around 66, southeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tomorrow, chance for scattered storms, highs around 86. Mainly cloudy skies tomorrow night, chance for scattered storms, lows around 60. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 92.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this July 27th, 2023. I have your host, James J. Maloff, here, and I am joined right now by one of our favorite people, Jackie Carantini, Human Development and Relationships Educator with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. Jackie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How you doing?
Good.
Good, good. We are here to talk, Jackie, and when we get together, we always have a good time. I always enjoy and usually learn something. I'm definitely going to learn some stuff today because we're talking pickles, and I don't know a whole lot about them. I know I like kosher pickles. That's about it.
Yeah, well, it's lots of different things. So yeah. You can pretty much pickle anything you want. So
that's something that I did learn. I did try to do a little homework to go into the interview so I could at least hang with you a little here. But I'm going to learn some stuff, and I think there are you out there are going to as well.
Absolutely. I'll start off kind of the idea of pickling is part of food preservation.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference when someone says that, you know, I canned because, oh, I canned my pickles. Or they'll say, I canned and I just canned pickles. Pickling is different. So there's main types of food preservation. So we can freeze things, right? Then you can also do a water bath canning, pressure canning, or pickling. Mm. So when we are, and there is a difference between when we pickle something and when we, you will still process in a canner, but the pickling is actually what's doing the preserving. So The salt brine or doing a crock brine is actually what's preserving the vegetable itself. Mm. Okay? Okay. Whereas if we are doing, say, something like venison, we're canning our venison meat in the fall, mm-hmm. that processing in that pressure canner is what it's doing the preserving. Mm. So that's the difference between when we say, well, I canned, you know, green beans. Okay. You have to process. There's no longer a water bath recipe for green beans. You can pickle dilly beans and then water bath them when you're done for the so they're shelf stable. But in that process, the brine in the pickle is what is preserving it versus if we pick green beans out of our garden and I want to do quarts of green beans, it is a low acid product that needs to be put into the pressure canner. So that's usually how I start off with folks saying, okay, what kind of preserving are you doing? Mm-hmm. And if we're pickling, that means that brine is actually doing the preserving. Okay.
And brine's doing the work.
Yep. It is. So that's, you know, and that's really important to know. I think the other thing when we talk about any kind of food preservation is the idea that it's research based. Okay. Mm-hmm. If I ask you, where do you think a recipe for whatever, bread and butter pickles, where do you think that comes from? Where do you think that was?
Boy, some grandmother from 1842.
Could have been. Now they're actually, it's done in a lab. It's done in a lab. Mm-hmm. So they're research based recipes that are done in a lab so that you can get the exact same product every time. And that when you make it at home, mm-hmm. you know that it's safe.
Yeah.
And that we're not going to kill my family mm-hmm. because I have moldy pickles and I grew some kind of bad mold versus the good mold. Yeah. So if anyone's ever done sauerkraut, I get this call every year. Okay, there's, you know, the recipe says scrape the moldy scum off the top. Yeah. How do I know, you know, if it's good scum, bad scum, right? Yeah. Very true. So that's kind of the thing. So first and foremost, when we're canning any kind of food preservation, pickling, canning, it's different than any other kind of baking or any other kind of cooking that you do. Because those you can go, oh, I don't like this. I'm going to eliminate that. Or, oh, I really like dill. I'm going to put five times the amount of dill in because mm-hmm. I really like mm-hmm. dill, right? You can do that if you're doing other recipes. Mm. Food preservation, you can't. Yeah. Because as soon as you do that, it changes the pH in the product, mm-hmm. and you're not guaranteed that you're going to get a safe, shelf-stable product.
It's really important to stick to the rules on this one.
Yep. So measure everything. Do exactly what it says. Mm-hmm. When we get into some other things, you know, you might be able to add a little more, you know, like for some things, onions doesn't change the pH, right? So if it calls for onions, or let's say it calls for bell peppers and you're like, well, I want to put hot peppers in. Again, that's not changing the pH. So that's safe. But you can't go, oh, I don't like peppers. Mm. I'm going to put in 6 cups of onion instead of the peppers. That's going to change the pH.
Once the product is done, you can tinker with it a little bit once it's out and everything. Yep. So save it for then.
Yes, exactly. Mm. Exactly. Mm. So that's kind of start
that
off
baseline
overall
right there.
General of kind of food preservation. So again, start off research-based recipe. There are recipes for everything out there right now. I usually get some phone calls this time of year like, oh, I'm looking for a recipe for this. If you are stumped, please call the extension office. Otherwise, there is a great resource out of the University of Georgia. It's the National Food Preservation Center for the country. Mm. They actually compile all of the recipes from every university across the nation. Wow. They have a really great resource.
I'm checking that out.
Yep,
that sounds really
some
cool.
Some fun
actually.
Stuff that, again, and then you know this is safe. This is not the time to be on Pinterest. This is not the time even to pull something out of the newspaper. And I know that sounds terrible, but we've had many times over my career where something was published in Ag Review and it was like, you know, oven canning tomatoes. And it's like, that's not recommended. That is not safe at all. We don't recommend you oven canned tomatoes. So just because you read it published somewhere doesn't necessarily mean that it's safe. So find a research-based safe recipe. If you have the old-fashioned Ball Blue Book, those are good, you know, Ball and Kerr. If you're new to food preservation or you want to maybe teach your grandkids how to do it, Ball and Kerr have some fantastic videos, how-to videos that walk you through step by step. They're awesome. So again, just go on and look up Ball Kerr, and there's some great YouTube videos on how to, you know, do pretty much everything. Mm-hmm. And the other trick I always tell folks is put .edu after your search.
Yes.
Again, that's going to take you to any university.
That's such a good tip.
It is. So then it gets, again, you're research-based and you know you're getting good information.
I know one of the things that pulls people into food is the creative process and being able to mix and match. It was my Nana's favorite thing. My family always talks about, well, we didn't really have creatives. We don't know how you became an actor and writer and all this. My Nana was a creative. She just didn't have an outlet. Food was her outlet. Yeah. She was very creative.
Yeah.
But with something like this, you gotta choose your battles wisely. With something like this, just stick to the way you're doing it and be creative after it is already made.
Correct. Or, you know, you can be a little out there. I always give examples. I love to use my dad as an example. So we have a very large garden. We have a multi-generation family garden. And the reason for that is because we all share the responsibility of preserving when it's done. Cool. So I went over yesterday to pick blueberries because they're prolific right now. And I walked in and the kitchen counter is like literally 5 feet of multiple sized jars of pickled rutabaga.
Oh.
And kohlrabi. Mm. So pickled kohlrabi. Mm-hmm. And one of my brother-in-laws likes it for Bloody Marys. And I was like, okay. And I'm like, okay. So that's where you can be creative. There are recipes for different stuff. So if you want to try something a little different, you know, pickled cauliflower or beets, you know, there's sweet things. You can do sweet things. Yes, that's where you get to be creative. But again, start off with that research-based recipe. And there are some. So for pretty much anything. I love, I used to, again, get calls this time of year, and people try to stump me because I say this every time, like, oh, I'm pretty sure I can find it.
Yeah.
When we get to some of those states where they have a lot more hunting and backwoods, I know North Carolina has, pickled raccoon.
I was just going to say pickled raccoon. I remember seeing it.
Yep. Snake and, you know, different kind of things like that. And it's like, it's out there.
Yeah.
And then there's some, I was thinking about this on the drive over, that might be reminiscent of your childhood and just make you smile. Mm. Like, for me, that would be pickled watermelon rind.
Mm.
You ever had that?
No, it sounds really good, though.
When we were kids, my grandma was never wanted to waste anything. And so you'd eat the red part of the watermelon, and then you'd cut off the green part of the watermelon, the outside rind, because that was bitter, and you'd save the white part. So it would have just a hint of the pink, white, and then maybe just a hint of the green. You'd cut it up in cubes, and then you'd pickle it. And it's a sweet pickle brine with anise. So when you eat it, and then we'd open them up like at Christmas time, and your lips would tingle, you know, from the anise, because it was just a sweet treat.
Oh, I gotta try that.
And reminiscent of the summer. But yeah, so a lot of times that's the fun part. Fun part about pickling it too, or any kind of food preservation, is it gives you that memory of taking you back right then and there. And you and I talk about this all the time, the power of memories.
Yeah.
But also right now things are, it's more frugal, so we want to save as much as we can. And if you're like, oh, I really don't want a pressure can, that's too much for me, pickling is a great way to do it. So
because you're so right about this, Jackie. Our favorite flavor is nostalgia. That's our favorite flavor there is, and it's all of us too, young, old. It doesn't matter. And like that, young, old, we've all been affected by the economy. We've all been affected by these things. And from what I understand, pickling not the most expensive. I don't want to say hobby, but for lack of a better, I think hobby is a fair word.
Yep.
It's not that crazy expensive kind of thing to do.
Yeah. Absolutely not. So let's talk a little bit about that. So basic ingredients in pickling. Number one, you start off with your water. So water is usually when someone calls me and says, oh, my pickles are mushy. Or, oh my gosh, my pickles turned blue. What do I do? Or my brine is cloudy. It's all white. I can't even see into my jar. Usually the first thing I ask is, what kind of water do you have? So are you living in the city? Do you have well water? Do you have high iron in your water? Water makes all the difference in the world. So we will, a lot of times you'll see things about using firming agents, you know, like alum or grape leaves, or you can actually get Bulker cells, pickle crisp, things like that. If you start off with kind of some basic pieces, you don't need any of that. But the first question I always ask folks is about water. So the harder the water that you have, the more issues you're going to have. So if you know you have hard water, you know, we can recommend that you boil it the night before, skim off any sediment, let it sit overnight. I usually tell folks, if you're concerned about your water, just buy distilled water for pickling, because there is nothing worse than, you know, having a whole bushel of cucumbers and then they're mushy or they're yuck and no one wants to eat them. So,
and again, most waters are affordable.
So start off with good water. So that's kind of your first piece. I mentioned iron. So if you do have, you know, I have well water, high iron. I know south of here, like if we get towards the Mead and then up into north up into Marathon County, really high iron in water. So people will come in and be like, my pickles are blue. They put garlic in. They're like, all the garlic cloves are like bright blue. Is it safe to eat? It is safe to eat. But that means that that chemical, the iron interacted during that chemical process. But again, so if you don't want that, distilled water is a good place to start. So generally, that's the first thing I ask is, what about your water? Second ingredient is salt. So you do need to use canning and pickling salt. If you do use table salt, you will get a cloudy base. You won't be able to see into your jars, because there are some other ingredients in that table salt that will interact and affect it, and also probably not even a safe product. So we can't guarantee that, because again, the salt is the main, that's the main actor here. The lead. So you have to make sure that you do have that pickling or canning salt. I usually get questions about, well, can I use kosher, or can I use this or that? Pickling salt. So there are some substitutes, but really start with that pickling salt. That is going to get you the best product, and know that it's going to be safe.
You know, Jackie started off with this in the right place. Stick to the rules. Stick to the ingredients on this one.
Salt, one of the most common questions I get is, well, can I do a low salt pickle? Or I always chuckle at this, can I do a low salt sauerkraut? and the answer is no.
No.
Because in this particular thing, salt is doing, that is doing the brining. So you cannot decrease that at all, because then you run the risk of not getting a safe, shelf-stable product.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to, when we're talking just straight-up canning, then no, there salt has no role in that whatsoever, mm-hmm. because processing in the pressure canner or the water bath is what's doing the preserving. So that, you don't have to add salt at all. Mm. But if we are actually pickling, that salt is essential. You cannot. The suggestion I usually give folks is after it's done, if you want to wash it off, you can get rid of, some dietitians say almost 75% of the salt after, you know, by washing it off, once or your sauerkraut. Yep. Once it's done and preserved, you can do it that way to try to reduce some of it. But in the actual process, no, don't. You can't reduce it at all. And also, again, try not to substitute for other types. Stick with canning salt to get best product.
Speaking with Jackie Carantini, Human Development and Relationships Educator with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. And Jackie, we're talking pickles, we're talking brining and pickling in general. So we've got that kind of stuff set up. Where do we go next?
One more main ingredient.
Oh, yeah.
Vinegar.
We can't skip steps. I'm sorry.
We can't skip vinegar.
You really need the vinegar.
Yep, it is really important. So especially if we're talking about, there's different types, and we'll talk about that in a second, whether we're talking about fermented pickles or fresh packed pickles. But vinegar is important. The piece that, especially, and I just saw a news cast on this recently, just in the last week, that it has to be 5% vinegar. So when you look at the grocery store and you pull it up and look at it, it needs to be 5% acidity. Hmm. And lately, folks have been saying, well, I can't find it. It's all 4%. There is, you probably didn't even know this, there are different percent types of vinegar.
Yeah.
There's something called cleaning vinegar that even has a higher percent acidity to it. But pull it out. What we found and what we've seen just, again, in the last couple of weeks and what's made national news is that some of the off generic store brands are, they've lowered it to 4%. That is not safe for pickling.
Mm-hmm.
So it does need to be 5% acidity. We do not recommend you make homemade vinegar for pickling, again, because we have to make sure that it's 5% acidity to get that safe, shelf-stable product.
Just even that 1% difference shows you how important it is to stick to these ingredients.
Yep. Absolutely. And you will notice that even like with salt, I've had people say, well, I only put in, one teaspoon versus, 2 teaspoons, whatever. And it was mushy, or it wasn't. Because again, each one of those is designed to give you the exact texture that you want. And then again, from a food safety standpoint, shelf-stable product. So you have to know that things like that brine, so that vinegar and that salt, is actually, preserving it so that no mold can grow in there. So that's the good part. I shouldn't say that, because if we're talking about fermented pickles, they are molding. They're fermenting, what's actually... So that's the difference between a brine pickle and a fermented pickle. Brine pickles, that salt and vinegar brine is actually preserving. A fermented pickle, you're actually letting it start to ferment, and its own carbohydrates are breaking down. It creates bubbles, creates that acid, and that is what's doing the fermenting. So if you've seen something where someone says they did a crock pickle and it had to sit for weeks before it was done, then someone else said, well, I put one in the fridge and I ate it in a day. Different kind of pickle, different kind of process.
Yeah.
So just because we say pickle doesn't mean, so generally there's three main types. So there's a fermented pickle, which what I said, it breaks down its own sugars and carbohydrates, and then that's what does the preserving. Fresh pack or quick process was where you create a brine, you boil the brine, you pour it over top of the product, and then let it process, and that usually is pretty quick, couple of days, and you might have a decent pickle. And then there's refrigerator or freezer pickles.
Yeah.
So that's something new. In the last maybe 10, 15 years, people didn't even know that, because a lot of times you don't want to put a cucumber into the freezer because there's so high water content that it turns mush. But there are beautiful freezer pickle recipes and refrigerator. So that's, again, something a little easier, but it turns out really good. Yeah. So that's another way to that you could do it. So there's three different main types.
You mentioned this earlier, Jackie, and we kind of heard others that do pickling joke about it before, that you can pickle anything. If you can fit it in a jar, you can pickle it. Are there things that people don't always think of that would be a good or a fun thing to try pickling? Because I think everything is a bit of a big net. But is there anything that you hit yourself of or you've heard others try that might be a good option for people to give a shot, especially if they're already pickling and they've been pickling, but maybe they want to try pickling something different?
Yeah. So especially if you haven't done something sweet, I encourage folks to try sweet. It's not necessarily sweet because it still has a little bit of a tang because it is pickled. But things like pickled beets turn out beautiful. Beets is one of those things that either you like it or you don't like it. And some folks are like, oh, I don't know that I really like a boiled beet, but oh, I like a pickled beet. Yeah, they turn out beautifully. Yeah. And they stay that bright, bright purple color. And also something that you can gift later on. So that's kind of fun. Sweet, if you can get a hold of crab apples, pickled crab apples, again, something fun.
Oh, I would definitely try that.
Yes, they turn out amazing. Again, one of those childhood memories. I can remember, you know, pulling out the stem and going, and the whole thing, you know, comes out in your mouth. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just kind of different things. A lot of times I'll have folks, especially who like things like Bloody Marys, they're like, oh, I want to do some fun stuff. So dilly beans, asparagus, cauliflower, mushrooms, rutabaga, kohlrabi, lots of different things can all be pickled. So think, you know, and the thing is, a lot of times it's not super expensive. So if you're going to the farmer's market and you're buying large amounts, I wouldn't recommend trying something. But if you're going to do a small batch of something and you have it in your garden, I can, salt and vinegar and, you know, water isn't overly expensive. I'll try a batch of cauliflower and see how it turns out. And see if we like it or not.
What about the jars? That can be one of those things that, you know, there's some people where I have all my grandmother's jars and I've got tons of them and stuff. And then there's others where I don't even know where to find a jar nowadays or something. Yeah. That could be a bit of a crux, I imagine.
So it is. And that's actually kind of a controversial topic, if you can have one when it comes to canning. because over the years, folks have said that, you know, I want to hang on to older ones and or I reuse jars. Mm-hmm. So like a mayonnaise jar, Miracle Whip, things like that. And if we're talking about actual canning, so water bath or pressure canning, recycled jars are not recommended. That glass is actually designed as one-time use glass. Yeah. Yeah. So it's made to go through the preserving canning process one time, and they cannot guarantee that after that, it will last. The other part about using those type of jars is that you want to make sure that your lid and ring fits on and gets a good seal. Mm-hmm. And they were not, again, designed for that. So if we're talking about pressure canning or canning, then I would say stick with, it doesn't make a difference what brand it is. During COVID, we got a lot of fun off brands. They're all designed for canning. They are all safe. If you do have older jars in your cellar or in the basement, as long as that lid and ring do still fit, then yes, those are considered safe. Don't really recommend doing the wax anymore. That's not, it's just not recommended, again, because of getting a good seal and making sure that it's shelf stable. But as far as pickling, you can do, especially if you're going to do like a refrigerator pickle, things like that, you can reuse a jar because we're not processing it. So then if you want to use an old jelly jar or things like that, as long as, again, that's that top seal's on and you can get a seal, then go ahead and you can use those. So
if you haven't gotten jars before, is there a, and I don't mean necessarily a store to get those, but a certain type of jar that you were kind of touching on this a little bit already, certain jars you should be looking for, and also keeping in mind, I would imagine too, you only need so many. You don't have to have a whole shelf of jars.
No. Yeah. So most of them come in boxes of a dozen at a time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would recommend, again, when you're looking at, again, a lot of the different research-based recipes, depending what it is, it'll have, you know, half pints or pints or quarts. A lot of things pickling, you don't necessarily want to do a quart. Start off with the pints. That way, a couple different things. People say they get a better product if it's not so many in the jar, and you're not going to eat that many at a time.
Yeah.
So, but if it's something you know, you're going to, oh, we love those. But most of the time you start off with the pint jars. That's a good way to go. And it depends if you're gifting it too. So then you can also get fun fancy jars. Right now, you know, the hardware stores, Walmart, Fleet Farm, they all carry jars. And like I said, there's some off brands on the market right now that work just great. You can Amazon, you can search them, lots of different ones. Previous years during COVID, we had a hard time getting the rings and the lids. Like there was a national shortage of them, but right now they're good. So as long as you get lids and rings that fit. But like I said, you can also do, if we're talking about fermenting, you can do crock and then any kind of container that you're going to keep it in the fridge. So even if you want to put it after they're done in, you know, a plastic container with a lid or a freezer safe container, those work too.
And certainly have fun with this, I would imagine. Yeah, you know, it's a big part of it.
It is. I think that's the good thing is to pull everybody together. We do canning in our family as a family piece because there are so many processes to it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, okay, you are doing the salt. You are measuring the salt. That is your job. You are measuring the salt. You are stirring the brine. You are, you know, that kind of thing. And again, so my 83-year-old father, when I went and talked about his kohlrabi, he was like, I did it right this time. Like I set it up and I had stations and he's been doing it for, you know, 60 years, but it's a lot. There's different processes to it. So I think, you know, it's a great family event. Pull everybody together, give everybody a task and make your way through it. But so if anybody's looking for research-based recipes, Wisconsin, we still do have our food preservation series. So we do have the bulletins for all types of canning. We do have one called Homemade Pickles and Relishes. They're currently no cost on them. So they're available for free online, or we do have some. So if you want to contact our office, we can get those to folks. 715-421-8437. And the one thing I totally missed on, which should probably be the most important piece with all canning, I was thinking about this with the farmer's market today, is start off with the freshest possible produce. So what I mean by that is if you went to the farmer's market this morning and you picked your produce, do not wait and go, oh, it's